What we do in life echoes in eternity.
You will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pro-Life Today. This is WSFI, that's 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Joe Scheidler, and my guest today is, of all people, my special favorite person, my wife, Ann Scheidler. Ann, welcome to Pro-Life Today.
Good to be here with you.
What are we going to talk about? We could start from the very beginning.
Our life.
Yeah, our life together. It's been pretty much pro-life all the way since the 1973, and our first daughter came into the world. We already had, three boys, and we... Kathy was just in utero when the Supreme Court ruling came down.
She was, and it was such a shock to think that our government didn't respect her life, didn't give any value to her at all, that her only value was if her mother, me, happened to think she had any value. Fortunately, of course, I did, but for so many people, that wasn't enough. And so we've had 55 million babies sacrificed to abortion now in these 42 years of legal abortion.
Who could ever have thought it would get that, it would be that bad? You know, at the time it seemed like, well, we have to fight it, but did you anticipate this long a fight?
Oh, absolutely not. I have always say that God knew our weaknesses, and he didn't say to us, well, you're going to spend the rest of your life fighting abortion. We thought it was only going to take a year or two to convince the American people that abortion was so evil. We thought that everybody knew that. I guess we were just naive and hadn't been paying attention to the deterioration of the culture. But I remember you going to listen to Father Paul Marx give a talk early on, probably in late 1973, and you came home and said that he said it was going to be at least 5 or 10 years of a fight, and I was mad. I said, 5 years? What is he, crazy? You know?
I remember that.
We'll get this solved long before that. But no, we've now been at it for 42 years, and although I think we're making a good deal of progress, we aren't at the end yet.
And oh, no.
It'll be many years.
I remember, Ann, the meeting with Father Marx, and he was the one that showed me. Remember, several of us had stayed after a talk he was giving, and it was supposed to be a big talk. The whole dining hall was filled with tables and chairs, and very few people came. And so a group of us stayed afterward, and we said, "Why us? Why are we still here?" And he said, "You've been called." And I thought, well, that can't be. I mean, called to what? You know, to fight abortion? How could that take up your life? Well, it has.
It can. It can, and it does.
And I remember he went upstairs, and he brought down two bottles, and they had the little preborn babies in them, and they were beautiful. And I could, for some reason, I did not think of them as fully human forms, you know. But when you saw the fingernails and the tiny little nostrils and the ears, and it was just I couldn't think of killing this human being. How could a person do that?
Yeah, how can a person do that? Only by convincing themselves that it isn't a human being, because nobody really wants to do that, to end a human life. You have to convince yourself that it's not a human life, or not quite a human life, and the situations that women find themselves in are often just really, really very desperate. We certainly see that when we go to the abortion clinic. So often a woman will say, well, I have to do this, I have no other choice, in spite of the fact that it's been sold to us for over 40 years as a woman's choice. Women don't want to have to make that choice, and it isn't a choice when you're being coerced or forced into it. You're backed into a corner and feel so desperate and so alone. They just don't want to have to make that kind of choice. It's too awesome a responsibility to give to somebody that they have power over someone else's life.
Right. Well, Anne, you know, we were going to talk about some of the things that we do publicly. And around Christmas time, this time of year, on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade and all, we have special activities. For instance, at Christmas, our empty manger caroling at the abortion clinics. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to kind of review that for us. And then, of course, as we're coming up to the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton, which was January 22nd, that black day in 1973 when the Supreme Court ruled in two cases, Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton. Some of our activities as activists, the Pro-Life Action League, I just thought we might review some of these for the people that are out and listening to us, because it's such a, I consider it an honor to have you on the program, because you gave me so many ideas, and I've tried to run the ideas past you, and we've been at this so long. What about a little review of pro-life activism?
Yeah, well, that's our specialty, is the activism. And we started the Pro-Life Action League to be that particular niche of the movement, not the ones who primarily focus on the political battles, which are indeed important, but to go out there on the streets. We came from back in the 60s during the civil rights struggles, and in fact Joe had marched with Martin Luther King in Montgomery. So we were attuned to the notion that you go out on the streets and you show the people what the fight is all about. So, part of that is when we go out on the streets with our Face the Truth graphic images, and when we go out in front of the abortion clinics and sidewalk council, and then, as you mentioned, the Christmas caroling, we try to bring hope to the gates of these abortion clinics. And one of the ways to do that is to come there right before Christmas, as we have done for maybe 15 years or so at this point, with a group of people, and we gather with an empty manger. We have a replica of the manger like Jesus would have been placed in Bethlehem. We put that manger out in front of the abortion clinic on the sidewalk, and we gather and we sing these, you know, Christmas hymns, the carols that remind us of the beauty of new life and the hope that Jesus brings into the world. And
I'll never forget the one time, man, when we had just closed an abortion clinic. It had just closed recently. And so we had the empty manger there, and at the very end, it was our last stop at Christmas time, we put the baby in the manger.
Yeah, we had a little doll that we placed in the manger. Right. As this is a closed clinic, and so life triumphed when an abortion clinic is closed.
And there have been many clinics closed. Even here in Chicago, there were many more than there are now. So then the trip to Washington, our own March for Life here in Chicago. You know, there's a March for Life in Washington, D.C. that goes way back and brings up over 500,000 people.
And, you know, one of the interesting things, now that you bring that up, that I learned last year when we were in Washington, D.C., and we went to a mass for pro-life leaders and respect life coordinators, celebrated mainly by Cardinal Sean O'Malley. And in his homily, he talked about the first March for Life, which was in 1974. He was one of the founders of the March for Life, along with Nellie Gray, which was a fascinating thing to learn. I never had known that, and it certainly endeared him to me, that's for sure, that here was this, you know, Cardinal of Boston, who, as a humble young Franciscan priest, had gathered with a couple of other people in Nellie Gray's dining room and planned this first March for Life, which now has well over 500,000 people gather every year.
It's enormous. Every year it gets bigger. And then they have one on the West Coast now in San Francisco. They have a regular march there, which is growing. And we have one in Chicago.
We have one in Chicago. We have had one in Chicago for several years, but it was on a very small scale and just never quite got off the ground. But in last year, Cardinal George asked his special assistant to make this become a bigger event. And so the Archdiocese pledged some money toward the project, and they got together some other, a few other organizations, including ours, the Pro-Life Action League. And now we have Lake County Right to Life involved. We have the Orthodox Church of America involved. And our very first big march was in January of 2014. When we didn't have any idea how many people to expect. Is it going to be 100? Because we had, of course, the coldest winter in our memory. And so,
freezing.
But one of the groups that's involved is the Hispanic Charismatic Movement, and they dedicated themselves to praying for a decent day. And these people are expert prayers. They gave us the very best day of the entire month of January. And we had 2,000 people, and it was just so energizing and so upbeat. Our theme was Love and Life in Chicago. We had almost, I probably would guess that at least half of those people at the march were college students and some high school students, the Crusaders and their yellow balloons. And it was just so full of energy and so exciting, and we're doing it again for 2015. We're going to try to make this the Midwest version of the March for Life. So there'll be one in Washington, be one in San Francisco. And then for people who can't really travel all the way to one of those locations for January 22nd, come to Chicago and celebrate life.
Well, it should be. We should give the Midwesterners a place to go, and Chicago's the place. So you're listening to the voice of Joe Scheider. This is Pro-Life Today. And we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Successful individuals don't just go through life, they grow through life. Let Catholic Financial Life be your partner in success. Come grow with a company where you can achieve success by putting your values in action. To learn more about a rewarding career as an advisor, contact Ishmael Cardenas at 414-651-3102. Catholic Financial Life, Catholic values in action.
Hi, this is John Wood, author of Ordinary Lives, Extraordinary Mission. I'm excited to team up with the Dynamic Catholic Institute to help reawaken the sleeping giant called the Catholic Church. I believe there's only one thing that can end this crisis and awaken our church. Saints. We need saints. We need saints who are doctors and lawyers and teachers and architects and athletes, musicians and farmers. Saints who live on college campuses. Saints who are mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas. We need saints. The world doesn't need another John Paul II or Mother Teresa. The world needs you. Your ordinary life has an extraordinary mission, and I don't care if you're 9 or 99, now is your time. So join us at the Ordinary Lives Extraordinary Mission one-day event on January 31st at St. Lucie Catholic Church in Racine, Wisconsin. This will be a life-changing event with inspiring talks, powerful music, and most importantly, a church filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. For more information and to register, go to dynamiccatholic.com and click on events. Come and rediscover your extraordinary mission.
Hello, this is Father John Jimnicki, the spiritual director of WSFI. So many of our broadcasts are from EWTN down in Irondale, Alabama, Mother Angelica's station. Come with me on a pilgrimage so that you can see firsthand all of the great work it has done to continue to spread the word. March 23rd through March 27th of 2015. Part of the pilgrimage will be spiritual talks and tours, daily mass, healing services and confession, the divine office. We will have an opportunity to be on EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa for the whole five-day pilgrimage involving all transportation, lodging, religious services, tours, events, activities, and meals. $349 per person, double occupancy.
For more information, call 847-395-3474 or visit newoldchurch.org.
Welcome back to Pro-Life Today. This is Joe Scheidler, your host, and I'm with my guest, my own wife, Ann Scheidler. We're talking about the pro-life movement and some of the special events that take place throughout the year. And we've talked about the empty manger, Christmas caroling. We've talked about the having the gathering here in Chicago now, as well as on the West Coast in San Francisco and Washington, D.C. We're having our March for Life. Let's say a little something about Speak Out Illinois, and you've been involved in this for years, and it's one of the big events that takes place each year where we bring in a number of groups and have speakers. So would you tell us something about the one coming up?
Well, Speak Out Illinois is a coalition of Illinois pro-life organizations, and there are about 40 organizations involved in it now. It was a concept that Tommy Romano, who worked for the Pro-Life Action League in 1990, she came up with this idea initially as a way to help the pro-life groups in the area get to know each other better and work together. So what we do is we put on this conference every year, and we meet all through the year, every month, to work on the conference. And the side benefit of working with this coalition is that we get to know what the other pro-life organizations specialize in, and we get to know the leaders and to appreciate each other. I think it's very, very unique to Illinois, which otherwise is such a horrible state to live in, you know, from a political point of view. But from a pro-life point of view, we have something that no other state has duplicated, and I don't know why not, because it is something that's so valuable to have. We have our crisis pregnancy centers, the Thomas More Society Legal Center, Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Citizens for Life, Illinois Right to Life, the Pro-Life Action League, the Tradition, Family, and Property. We have all sorts of aspects, Lutherans for Life, Orthodox Christians for Life. It's just such a variety of different organizations. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, why don't you all get under one umbrella and stop having so many different groups? But this kind of a coalition really emphasizes the beauty of having so many different groups. We each reach a different constituency.
You know, that's interesting, because so often you hear that, get under one umbrella. And actually, I sort of thought that at first. I thought, why aren't we all doing the same thing? And we can't. It's such a variegated problem that we're facing.
Yeah, there's so much to do. We just can't do it all. Like, we, for instance, go out and do the sidewalk counseling and the sidewalk counseling training, but we can't also run the pregnancy center, especially no. in a city as big as ours, a metropolitan area as big as ours. We just have so much need for pro-life ministries. I think there are probably about 30 or 40 different pregnancy centers in the state of Illinois.
Yes.
Certainly in the Chicago area, we have more than 20 abortion clinics. So there's just such a need for so many different ministries. And for instance, Lutherans for Life is going to reach a whole different constituency from the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago or the Diocese of Rockford.
Right. And Anne, would you let's review some of the great speakers that we've had come in and talk to us here in Chicago at our Speak Out Illinois.
Oh, we've been doing this for over 25 years right now, so we've had an opportunity to hear the very best. We had Bernard Nathanson, who former abortionist, who helped found the National Abortion Rights Action League, and then converted and helped tell the truth about what was behind the agenda to get abortion legalized. We had Norma McCorvey, who was Roe from Roe v. Wade, and Sandra Cano, who was the Doe in Doe v. Bolton. Sandra recently died, and she spent all the years of her life from 73 on trying to undo the damage that her case had done to the country.
Both of those women had regretted their part at Roe
Absolutely.
V. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, and I felt so sorry, for Sandra Cano, because she tried so hard to undo the evil. She never did have an abortion.
No, she didn't want an abortion, and she didn't have an abortion.
She was used.
She was used, as was Norma McCorvey, and who, you know, so many women who actually do have abortions are really used. But then we also had, as far as great speakers, it's Speak Out Illinois goes, Ryan Bomberger last year
right.
with his Radiance Foundation, who is a wonderfully energetic, new, young pro-life leader who truly understands the use of media, particularly film, to get the message out. We've had Lila Rose, who has done such a great job exposing Planned Parenthood and the evils of their supposed counseling and their...
Yeah, Lila took the nation by storm.
She did, and she continues to.
She just went into the abortion clinics and actually filmed and taped and got information that nobody... We all suspected it. In fact, we all knew it. But Lila went in and got it.
And she got it. She did. We had Henry Hyde, who was such a great statesman from the state of Illinois, such a great spokesman on behalf of life. And now we have an award we give every year called the Henry Hyde Life Leadership Award, which this year is going to Professor Robert George from Princeton. That's going to be, I think, a fascinating talk to hear. He's been such a leader in religious freedom, in pro-life, in pro-family. I can't wait to meet him and hear what he has to say.
I know. It's exciting. And every year it kind of renews your spirit. You know, you have to take a shot in the arm every once in a while.
You do, yeah.
And you need to hear from these other people coming up, the new leaders of the movement. You know, some of us are getting a little long in the tooth, and we've been around a long time. We're still active. We're still out there. But it's so encouraging, as in the program we had not long ago with my own grandson, our grandson, Aaron, he goes with the group out to Washington. They go outside the clinics. They join Face the Truth. And it's just great to see the enthusiasm and the interest, the deep interest and the understanding that they have.
Mm-hmm. It is. You know, there's a whole, like an explosion of young pro-life leaders that are coming out and coming to the fore now. And it seemed like for a while, what were we going to do? You know, all of us were getting a little older. What were we going to do to keep the pro-life movement going? And now, God bless us, God has blessed us with all of these young, smart, creative people that are coming along as leaders in the movement. And we are personally blessed by having our son take over the leadership of the Pro-Life Action League. So
Eric is a godsend.
Yeah.
And you know, Eric came into it as just a little boy. He was out there with us and holding the signs. And I remember we have a picture of him carrying a garbage can full of baby dolls.
Well, he went to his first pro-life demonstration at about the age of six and had to face these kinds of demonstrations for the rest of his life.
So. Yes, he's grown up with a hostile milieu out there of people that disagree with us, but Eric can certainly hold his own. And I remember one time when we were in Washington, I heard someone arguing with a group of feminists, and I thought, this guy really knows his stuff. And I look around, and it's my son, Matt. And remember the time we took Matt out there?
Yeah.
And I just didn't realize what clear presentation he made right there on the street.
So I guess kids do absorb a bit of what they hear their parents talk about.
They do, and it's real encouraging, and it gives you that extra shot you need to go on, because it's still a long battle. We're fighting a terrible attitude in this country of a kind of a whole system of convenience. It's convenient to have an abortion. But it's taking a life.
But it's taking a life, yeah.
And we can never see it any other way.
And one of the other problems that that people don't realize so much is going on with our culture of devaluing life is the whole issue of the sex trafficking, which is another topic we're going to be covering at Speak Out Illinois this year. We are fortunate to have an attorney, a woman who used to be head of the legal department of Department of Children and Family Services, Elizabeth Yore, is an expert in this field, and she's going to be doing a workshop on human trafficking, how you recognize it, and what you do about it. We know from talking with our sidewalk counselors that are regularly out in front of the abortion clinics, that very often there are minors being brought to the clinics that are quite likely to be victims of some kind of an abuse, possibly human trafficking. So it's going to be really informative for us to find out from Elizabeth, what can we do to identify these situations and to get help for these young girls who are trapped in these situations.
And would you give a contact to our listeners that want to attend Speak Out Illinois? It's going to be so valuable this year, and as it always has. Mm-hmm. But since we're a little bit ahead of the event itself, let's give some information so people can come to it.
Well, Speak Out has its own website, speakoutillinois.org, and you can go to the website and take a look at the program we have lined up, all the speakers that we're going to have doing the workshops there, and you can register right online. You can also call any of the organizations that are involved in Speak Out. If you happen to belong to one of the member sponsor organizations, each one will have a display table at the event, and we'll have a table for the lunch itself. So we encourage as many people as possible to get involved. And if you're not already part of another pro-life organization, this is a great opportunity to come and find out what these organizations do and where you can fit in, because everybody's got a role to play. And if you feel like politics is your bailiwick, there's political organizations to get involved with so you can help to elect good pro-life candidates to public office. If direct help to the women who are in need of support and mentoring is what you'd like to do, there's plenty of crisis pregnancy centers involved with the Speak Out Coalition. You can sign up to get involved with one of them. They're located all over the metropolitan area, so there's bound to be one conveniently located so that you can go and volunteer your services to be involved with them.
And I think people should realize, should appreciate what we have here in Illinois, one of the few places we know where you have this kind of a get-together every
yeah.
year. And I've never been disappointed.
No, it's always, Speak Out Illinois is always a wonderful event, and just to get to know the people who are involved with it is a real honor. We just have a real wonderful collection of pro-life dedicated individuals in this state. It's surprising to discuss. So sometimes you can begin to feel a little bit alone, and then you come together with all these people who are spending their lives trying to change America, trying to bring the culture back to a culture of life, and trying to really bring help to women and families that are facing difficult times, and to get them through it and help them choose life, which they're always happy they did, of course.
Yeah, they're always. Well, it's a red letter day whenever we have our group together here in Chicago, and I just think people need to be more involved in the whole issue of life. That's what it's about. That's what the creation is all about.
We can transform our culture.
We can.
If we dedicate ourselves to doing it, there's enough opportunity for pro-life people, people who really care about life, to get involved and do something. You don't have to wonder, well, what can I do? What can I do as just one person? There's a lot you can do as just one person.
That's
and, of
right.
course, praying for our country is one of those key things we all have to do all the time. And praying for our country in front of an abortion clinic is the best thing to do.
Well, I know I did a little ad one time for this station, and I said, I'm going to teach you three Latin words, ora et labora, pray and work. That's what it's all about. Ora, we pray, and labora, we labor, we work.
We do.
Well, that's all the time we have today, but thanks again to my guest, Ann Scheidler.
Thank
my
you.
Wife. Join us next week on Pro-Life Today. We'll have a new guest. Until then, for all of us at WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, I'm Joe Scheidler. Thanks for listening to Pro-Life Today.
This has been an episode of Pro-Life Today on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this program, email info@wsfiradio.org.